Guest on our program today, Joshua Heyer, superintendent from the Ogden School District. Good to have you back.
Good morning, Jim.
What's been happening in Ogden?
Well,
we have cross country.
We got two kids that qualified for state, so we'll have that this Friday. But no, just wrapping up the fall activities.
Yeah.
We had a successful season with our volleyball program. Most wins, I think, in school history. Boys football program last week lost in first round of playoffs, but
ran
into a very competitive, very good school. I'd be shocked if we didn't see Trainer in the semifinals. So whenever you wrap up your season, you always want to lose to the best. But then also cross country last week, our girls went out and did a great job, and boys as well. And ultimately, we had two individuals, Miles Tremblay and Thomas Bergstrom, which will be running at state this week. So.
And we were checking the weather to make sure it looked good for Saturday or Friday. They're running Friday,
I think. I believe it's 2A, 3A is Friday. And we're up in 2A this year. In the past, we've been a 1A cross-country program. But our numbers just, for whatever reason, bumped us up into that 2A program.
So, yeah. Well, we wish them well. And Mother Nature is cooperating, so I know there have been some cold, wet ones up there, and there have been also some really nice days, and not a lot of wind. It's a course they've been on before, so they should do.
Yeah,
they should do
absolutely. Nope, I'm excited, and I'm sure the community will head up to Fort Dodge and represent, and we'll do a great job up there.
All right. Well, we look for. Yeah, this is the first year I think that they've split up the classes up there for cross country. So. Well, look forward to it. Well, and I know, the volleyball followed them right to the end as well, too. And that was, I didn't know there. I thought they could pull that one out, too. But Earlham, it was, 3-2.
It was 3-2. They had met each other a couple times throughout the season.
This was their fifth meeting, I think.
It maybe was. Very competitive match. Our girls fought back, for the listeners that aren't aware, but we were down 0-2, came back and won 3 and 4 and went to the fifth set. So great job for the season. Jen Winters is doing a great job coaching and building a program, and really excited about where we're at with that.
Do they kind of try to get together? Well, now after the season, I suppose some of the girls keep doing things and keep working out.
Yeah, I think a number of them will probably push pause for a little bit. Yeah. But I think that they actually do a lot of the AU, so to speak, volleyball program. And it's just excited about the numbers that we have ultimately in the volleyball program right now.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the Ogden District. Had your meeting, earlier in the month. It seems like it was a long time ago, but now that we're getting ready to wrap up the month. Yeah, it's going fast. The big thing, obviously, you had the public hearing, the bus routes you were looking to extend. You talked about this last time, extend, because there are time limits on how long they can be on the bus and things like that. Did need a lot, but big district to cover. So
yeah, we got a lot of ultimate square miles that we cover, and that 60-minute threshold, we were not in compliance. So we ultimately had that public hearing to request a 15-minute extension. As the season and the year has kind of settled in, so to speak, we were maybe bumping up in that 75. We're barely over that 60 minutes. Yeah. But nonetheless, we needed to have that 15-minute extension. So our board did have the public hearing, and then ultimately they went ahead and moved forward with an action item to extend those 15 minutes for us.
There are no negative comments. Everybody kind of understands what it takes.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some families out there that aren't necessarily happy, but ultimately, yes, we didn't have any negative public comments, and the board went ahead and moved forward with that.
A couple other things that came up during your last meeting. What were some of those? You've got a few special education, I think. You had a small deficit. It wasn't overly big.
Yeah, so last year's budget, and for our listeners again, with special education, we need to make sure that we're providing services for students, meet IDA and law and compliances, and no matter how much that cost, we're going to cover that. But then if there is a deficit on that, you can go ahead and with SBRC, just ask for that authority. And we ended up last year having a $12,000 deficit, and so we were just asking for that a little bit. And ultimately, the board did approve that.
Yeah, that's actually relatively small to get all the services done that you need to get done.
Ultimately, for all those services and just meeting the unique needs of our kids, when ultimately you're having a $12,000 deficit, that's pretty minimal.
Yeah.
I've seen some districts where it's hundreds of thousands of dollars because they may have some kids that maybe are placed in a certain location. And, you know, those placements cost an extensive amount of money to serve those kids.
A lot of people forget about that. If they're a resident of your district and they're being elsewhere, you're kind of at the mercy of what the program charges.
You're exactly right. Yeah, if you have a resident student that might end up ultimately getting a residential placement to make sure that we get those supports, the district ultimately is on the hook for paying those bills.
Some of the other things that came up, I know that obviously the seasonal part, you got your snow removal bids done.
Snow removal.
Yeah,
yep, got that in, and we're excited. It's hard to imagine that we're planning for all of that, Jim. But yeah, as the seasons are approaching, we need to make sure that we had that in place, and we're excited to work with the person that received that contract.
And I shouldn't, for their sake, say, I hope they get very busy. No, you're on the other end saying, maybe let's do it once in the springtime or something. No, everybody, you got to get it in place, got to do it. The one big one, and I kind of knew this one was coming because you've talked about it in the back, the facilities, and I'm guessing focus on parking lot is the big thing.
Yeah, so FRK, they ultimately agreed to that contract, and it's just allowed them the ability to start to design and get some more of those concepts that we identified last year when we had a subcommittee come together and we were starting to talk about our facility needs. This allows them the ability to start to formalize and start to just create some schematics and designs on what might be the possibilities. For this, really a go, as you mentioned, we are kind of focusing on the middle school, high school parking lot. We're wanting to maybe add some additional spaces, some handicap accessible, and just even improve the traffic flow on that campus. So we're working on that project. And then also we're kind of looking at reimagining the space that's underneath our elementary gymnasium. That actual portion of that building is an original, I don't know exact date. I'm saying 1930s, 1940s build. And when it was a middle school, it was turned into locker room space. Well, okay. It's no longer the middle school. Yeah, that has now moved to the high school. So we're looking at how can we repurpose that space. And FRK is going to do some work on really increasing our capacity at that building.
Well, that'll give you more.
It will.
Good.
Yeah, we're excited.
So, again, those are things you got to look, what can we do with what we've got, and add more opportunities there, too. Any other items during the board meeting that come to head? Your thoughts, anyway.
Yeah, I guess the only other, well, I mentioned two items there. We signed an agreement for school-based therapy with Guided Ascent. I sent out some information last week to our families, but really honestly, it's just if we have kids, sometimes they need therapy services, and within the Ogden boundaries, there really isn't a whole lot of those options. So, you know, a family may actually grab their child at lunch hour, go over to an appointment in Ames, and then ultimately come back, and now that child's missed 2 or 3 hours of school, but also mom and dad have missed 2 or 3 hours of work.
Sure.
So with Guided Ascent, it allows us to do the therapy services right there in-house. So we're excited to partner and work with them.
Okay. Relatively, I mean, it would be new for the Ogden District, but we've seen more of these services becoming available. Telehealth is what it is, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so whether you have telehealth or other school-based therapy, it's very common in a number of schools, just in those rural areas for whatever reason. There's a shortage of therapists, and really when they're demanded, they're actually coming out of the Urbandale area, going to be able to support and serve us. But we're excited that they're able to come and help meet the needs for Ogden.
Yeah. And that was a big one, getting that done.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're really excited. And then honestly, the last one that I'd just like to mention is we're going to hand out some teacher bonuses here. On that November paycheck, which it seems to be a little bit timely with the holiday season approaching, but we had some TSS, some funds, and those dollars are really supposed to be for teacher salary and benefits. Mm-hmm. And after we started to put pencil to paper, we realized that we were just a little bit long in that categorical. So we wanted to make sure that those dollars got to the people that needed to have those. And we're excited to be able to hand out a little bit of a bonus to our teachers.
All right. Like that, too.
Absolutely.
Let's start talking election. Because I know that's one of the big ones, and I'm not sure what kind of comments you're getting. Well, obviously, you have three candidates, two positions on the board, so we have those to deal with first. And again, Lauren Britton, Kelly Merritt, Tina Palmer. We've mentioned last time that all good candidates, have they had an opportunity to get out and visit to people? Have we had like a get together?
Yeah. So in the past, they've had, depending on the number of candidates, they'll have a forum. And this year, what they did is they elected just to have more of a Q&A.
Yeah.
So they went ahead and asked the candidates various questions regarding the state of education in Ogden and what are some of their hopes and desires? What are the things that are going well? And also what might things they want to improve. And they ultimately summarize all of that. And then they've been posting that either on social media feeds. And then it's also in the Ogden Reporter. That way that our voters are informed on kind of their stance for the three different individuals.
Because we don't really have, at the Ogden City level, there's no real challenge races there. So this is really the contested race in Ogden.
Yeah, ultimately this would be. Yeah. So, yeah, we got the incumbent, Kelly Merritt, and then we have, you mentioned, Tina Palmer and Lauren Britton. Pete Bergstrom is not running, so that spot is available, as well as Kelly had already served 4 years and is rerunning for an opportunity.
She's going... Just getting started. It takes time. People don't realize what it takes to learn just what the board's doing and getting up to speed on things.
Yeah.
I think that surprises a lot of people.
I think so as well, Jim. You know, in my opinion, I feel like it almost takes 2 years to kind of get your feet underneath you and understand public education and the finance and the initiatives that the school is going for. And then ultimately you're able to start to weigh in. So yeah, when you say a 4 year term, you know, it goes quick. And I think we have some momentum. And I think that Kelly is hoping to be able to continue with that momentum that we've started over the last 4 years.
I think probably the big one is, everybody goes, well, I thought I was all done with homework until you get to the board. And then the board, you have board betterment things that you do through the School Boards Association and things like that, too. So it's a constant learning for, by the way, nobody gets paid for that.
No, it is a free position. And yeah, we partner with Iowa Association of School Board, ISB, and they come out. And if we need sessions, we'll have a work session on governance or policy or whatever it may be. And they also have professional development opportunities.
Oh, yeah.
Later in November, they actually have one down at the Capitol or down there in Des Moines and bringing a number of people. And they'll have these different work breakout sessions, et cetera.
And now we have this new thing. When you get elected, you're required to take open meetings information. What you have to do, what you can do, what you can pass along, what you can't pass along. There's a lot.
There is a lot. And that's embedded in that that professional development that we'll have the opportunity to go to in November.
Well, on the ballot, Ogden District happens to be one of those. You got a couple of questions there. Don't panic, people. They're not real hard questions. It's the first one is the revenue purpose statement. Basically, it just says we're going to spend the dollars we receive the way we're supposed to, according to the law.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Jim. So that revenue purpose statement, we get SAVE, which is kind of that 1 cent sales tax, and we get a certain amount per pupil that is enrolled in Ogden schools. And the revenue purpose statement basically says, how are we going to be able to use those funds and services? And really, this is something that we're just wanting to continue. It's no change. It's no levy increase, nothing like that. We're already receiving those dollars. We just need to be able to tell our patrons, this is how we intend on using those dollars for.
Yeah. I think, do you have to do that every so often, the revenue purpose statement?
So Ours will expire in 2030.
Okay.
And this would allow it to be able to continue until it sunsets at the state level.
Okay.
People could petition for it, but once it's voted in, it stays in place until somebody would petition to have it changed or modified.
And once again, this is just the revenue purpose statement. Whatever these dollars that are coming to the district, we're going to do what the law says and spend them that way.
So. Absolutely.
You might be able to prioritize a little bit in there, but the bottom line is, that's what they get to be used for. The other one, a little bigger, but this is an extension for your physical plant equipment levy. You're three? I think there's three.
In the local area.
In the local area. Ogden's one. I think Gilbert's doing theirs. And I think Woodward Granger is too. So
I believe you're right, Jim. Yeah. So again, for the listeners, our patrons have supported Ogden Community Schools. And they put in place in 2015 something called the Voter Physical Plant Equipment Levy. It is a levy. But really what we're asking for is just a continuation, a renewal of. It's set to expire. And when we're doing our forecasting and planning, it's just the dollars that we really are trying to look and make sure that we have those in place. If it weren't to be passed, we really would have to have some hard, difficult decisions, you know, and if something critical would break or fail, we can't go without that. So when all of a sudden those revenues are lower, we're going to have to decide what other alternative source are we going to use to make sure that we're supporting and getting those things done. So I'm cautiously optimistic. Our patrons have had it in place from 2015, and now it's almost ready to expire. We're just asking for a continuation of that.
And I think the big thing for this, and if someone wants to sit and take the time to read all the verbiage on the ballot, you can, but the bottom line is it goes, I always say brick and mortar.
It's brick and mortar.
Primarily.
We could possibly do some technology if it's over, I think, a certain amount of dollars. You could do your transportation fleet and renewing and updating that. You could also do a possible bond, you know, because it is dollars that are generated. So you could do a bond for another project, but that project would be brick and mortar.
Yep.
And if we're looking to do some capital improvement projects, this allows us to be able to get the revenue to be able to do those things up front.
Like people, I will tell you, parking lot. Okay. There you go. I mean, you would have the dollars and they would be committed and you could say, okay, we can do this. Or if you have to do short-term note for whatever it would cost, or if you can cover it by saving up some of these
dollars. That's a perfect example of where having this in place would allow us to be able to do a nice project where, you know, it might be $1.5 million, but for us to be able to have that on the coffers right now to be able to do that project is really difficult. But if you can bond for it, knowing that you have those revenues coming in over a 10-year span, those revenues that we get on an annual basis are able to pay those.
That's pretty important. It helps you with that planning. And this is one thing, if they do approve this, it extends it out a little ways. And you can plan ahead that far.
Absolutely. So, it's easier for us to be able to understand what the future is going to be.
Going to have more coffees coming up, are you?
Yeah. So, again, I continue to have that. It's the first Friday of every month.
So we'll be looking after the election.
We will be after the election. But I encourage people to come down to the Leonard Good Center, and I will provide the coffee and the donuts. And it's just an opportunity for us to either connect with what's going on in the city and or in the school, celebrate the great things that are going on, and or bring up maybe an area of concern. Sometimes people assume that we know the reality. Is sometimes we don't always see everything that's going on, and I encourage those conversations so that way we can address their concerns and or that we can become aware, and I think just working together with the same goals.
Yeah. I'm guessing some of the things that have been going along pretty good. I know that the chief had a few things to come and visit with students about early on, but it was early. Again, before before homecoming and things like that. So he's trying to avoid issues coming up.
Absolutely.
I think him and the scooters are just like it's same just about every town. So
I think that's an issue across the board right now.
One of the other things that I know you guys watch closely is what the city is doing now, recently annexing a little more property for future expansion development. And we're talking residential, and that's one thing you're looking forward to. We'd like to have more people coming in, because then we got more families coming in, and we get more students.
The way that we operate is we get X amount of dollars per student that we serve. So when your community is starting to get a little bit older and those homes aren't necessarily turning over, and or there's no new homes,
yeah,
ultimately it impacts our overall bottom dollar. So we're trying to provide a high quality education and services, but really we're capped on how many kids are actually coming to our Ogden school. So when I see the city do something as far as annexing and talking about future residential developments and bringing on some new homes, that excites me.
You're going, yes.
Yep, we need those dollars.
All right. We got to ask you the one that, of course, October is the month when you find out about enrollment numbers. And for Ogden, you were anticipating, you'd love to stay even, but if you stay even, you tend to even fall behind a little. But you'd like to see a little bit of increase. But did have a large graduating class this year, and not so many coming in.
You're exactly right. So we have something called our certified enrollment, which is basically the number of kids that are in the Ogden proper school district. And then you have ultimately a number called the served. Well, it's interesting. Our certified number is continually to decline, but our open enrollment number is continuing to increase. So that difference is slowly starting to kind of be offset. But with that being said, we have smaller class sizes coming in. We're graduating in the 60 range, and I think this year we have 66 kids in our senior class. And we're continuing to see in kindergarten come in that more 50 range. So yes, we are down this year. I think it's ultimately number of served around 18, yeah, 19 kids.
So again, that's a loss, but again, we'd like to anticipate, and I know you keep looking at it, I know all districts keep looking at it, and the state looks at it too, and they give you some estimates and things like that. You're thinking a year or two to let it kind of settle out a little?
I ultimately believe, based off of the numbers that we're looking at, we're probably going to be down another one, two more years. But then I think we've almost right-sized ourselves, Jim. And I think that Ogden's probably going to be serving in that 55 range. Mm-hmm. Whereas we were in there, we had some big classes, that were going through that were more in the 60 to 65 range. But when we're really starting to flatten out and see a consistent level, and once that happens, we'll be in good shape. It's just when you have an exiting class leaving, yeah, that's much larger than your incoming class, you have some tougher times.
I've seen some preschool numbers in some districts starting to edge up a little bit. Maybe anticipated that you were going to have somewhere around 35 or 36 in there, but you might get 41 or something like that.
And that's the same thing that we're seeing. Yeah. And every single kid counts. The more that we can get them into those volunteers preschool program, that's a great thing for us. So we want to have them and get connected with them and be able to help them out.
Well, as we look forward, you got another meeting coming up. Now, what will the Ogden District do for your meeting? Are you going to do the regular on the 10th? Are you going to delay it a little bit?
No, right now we're planning on doing the 10th. If we're able to look through and verify the election results, we'll do that at that time. I doubt that's going to be the
usually
case.
Usually they don't canvass till the Tuesday after.
Yeah, so more likely what we will do is we'll canvass those votes in December, finish up business, and then we'll actually bring on the new people. So December's meeting will really ultimately be two with a regular, finish up that business, and then we'll swear in the new people.
All right. Joshua Heyer, Ogden Superintendent, our guest. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.